Now, dear friends, tonight we talk of the mercies of God. And it centers on the salvation of a heathen city called Nineveh. Nineveh is or was the capital city of Assyria, traditional enemies of the Jews. And for all its sins, this wicked city was ripe for God's judgment. We are told that our God is a holy God, and He is a consuming fire unto all those who resist Him, who defy Him, and will not believe in Him. The wicked before Him are as the chaff before a great furnace of fire. How can such stand before Him? And this indeed is a picture of all of us. You say, well, I'm not so bad, and yet we're not so good. And before God, we are finished and undone. Even as Isaiah, when he was given a vision of God, he says, woe is unto me, for I have seen the holy God, and I am finished. But tonight we are going to consider God's mercies. God has many attributes. Yes, we all know God is love. God is holy. God is true. God is merciful. And we are going to consider the mercies of God, how they pertain to you and me. We are all recipients of His mercies. For it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Dear friends, you know, God could easily have sent fire and brimstone on the city of Nineveh, even as He did on the city of Sodom. Yes, easily. But why not? On Nineveh, God had a plan. God had mercy on the people of Nineveh. And instead of sending fire, He sent a fiery preacher. That's better than fire, isn't it? And this man, Jonah, came along with a message. Very short message. Repent. In 40 days, God will destroy the city. And the people took the message to heart. There is mercy and hope in such a message. Dear friends, we all need God's message, don't we? Thank God we ever heard the message. It may have been a hard message, but God's message of repentance carries with it the promise of mercy to all those who will turn to Him. It was of the Lord's mercies that Nineveh was not consumed. As we think of this word mercy, what do you understand it to mean? What is mercy? Mercy means punishment deserved but withheld. We all deserved it, but God did not send it. That is mercy. Now, another word that is closely used together with the word mercy is grace. What is grace? Grace is favor undeserved, given freely. So here we see two wonderful gifts of God, mercy and grace. And all these flow from what? God's great loving heart. We have a wonderful God. God who loves us, that spared not His only begotten Son, and gave Him for us. Mercy and grace speak of God's wonderful, amazing love. Try and picture God's love tonight as a coin of pure gold. Can you imagine a coin of gold with two inscriptions? On one side is mercy. On the other side is grace. And these two in this gold coin signifies love of God, which we all have received, which we all do not deserve. And we ask, as we ponder how God has been good to us, we ask, why should God love us sinners with such amazing love? Answer, simply because God chose to do it. God is sovereign. God does not need to answer to you and me why he saved me, why he saved you. Simply because he took pity on us by his sovereign will, by his sovereign grace, he comes to us. For without that, no man can be saved. Paul the apostle expresses this very well. He says, it is a truth that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I am the greatest. He, standing before God, realizes what a great sinner he was. And if he deserves death, we all deserve death. And if he received grace, we all also have received grace. So he says, by the grace of God, I, Paul, am what I am, an apostle, a servant, who was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, an enemy of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I obtained mercy. God came to me. I was on my way to Damascus with letters to persecute the Christians, but God reached out to me with his hand of mercy, apprehended me so that I may be used for his work as his servant. God's mercy is expressed in that great act on Mount Calvary. We see there how God showed his greatest act of mercy when God took the punishment due to us and laid it all on his own son on the cross. And there he made Jesus, the sinless one, to be sin for us. He knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is mercy. Dear friends, we can never, never fathom the mercies of God. But in the quietness of the night hour, let us, even in our beds, ponder. Ponder tonight. Lord, what is it that you saw in me? Nothing. There is nothing good in you or me. But God in mercy came and lifted us up and gave us mercy, took our sins, put on his own son, who took our punishment, and in return he gave us his righteousness. This is mercy. Now, in the book of Jonah, which we have chosen for our study tonight, we see amply demonstrated God's wonderful mercies, as we shall shortly see. Now, some will say, oh, what? Why are you talking about Jonah? Do you really believe in the story of Jonah? Isn't it a fairy tale? So the modern Bible scholars think, or majority of seminaries and Bible colleges today do not believe in the story of Jonah. They say it's only a Jewish fable, a fairy tale. Who can believe that a man can be swallowed by a fish and come back alive? Dear friends, what do you think? Do you honestly, in your heart, believe that Jonah was history and not fantasy? Let me give you just two proofs. Firstly, in the story of Jonah, which we shall read shortly, it says, the Lord had prepared a great fish. Notice that. It is no accident. Some will say, if you are swallowed, it must be coincidence. Oh, no, friends. God's word is marvelous. God had a purpose. God knew that Jonah was going to run away. The Lord says, Jonah, you go east to Nineveh and go preach and save the people. God knew Jonah would go west to Tarshish, to Spain. And there he thought, oh, I'll have a Mediterranean holiday. How wonderful. Instead of going to save my enemies and to give them some mercy, he didn't like the idea at all. God knew all this, and God sent firstly a storm, and then God sent a fish to swallow him. So that is the first point. No accident. There was great purpose. God was going to show to us today who read it that God has a plan. God has great mercy. Mercy on Jonah. Mercy on Nineveh. Mercy on us. Number two, if you turn with me, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And here is wonderful confirmation by the one who sent the fish. Ah, you say, well, how come? How is it? Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. The Jews came to Jesus and said, show us a sign. You say you're the Messiah. How do we know? How can we believe? Jesus says, you ask for a sign. I give you the sign. What sign? Verse 40. Matthew 12, 40. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, I said, that's enough. That's enough. Jesus spoke it. And every word that falls out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus is truth and will never pass away. Jesus here confirms the story of Jonah. And that's enough for me. If the Son of God tells me, I believe. And why? Furthermore, he was the Son. He was the one who sent the fish. Jesus sent the fish to swallow Jonah. Now Jesus is on earth to tell the people, look, you want a sign? I know you, Pharisees. I know you. Jesus knew the wickedness of the hearts of the Pharisees. They came asking for a sign, not that they wanted to believe, but they wanted to make fun of Jesus and eventually to kill Jesus. Who are you? You come, you are spoiling things for us. And they were planning and plotting how to put Jesus to death. What sign will you show us? And Jesus knew. Jesus, the Lord, knew everything in the hearts of the Pharisees and the scribes. That's why, you know, the Pharisees and the scribes, they did not deserve mercy at all. God's mercies to them were strangers altogether. So when it is recorded in Matthew's gospel, the Lord Jesus addresses scribes and Pharisees as vipers, whited sepulchres. And the only thing that Jesus offered them was, woe, woe, woe. No mercy. No mercy. Why? Because they are enemies of the gospel. They're enemies to the grace of God. They refuse. They are supposed to be custodians of the gospel. They were in the church. They were the people who are supposed to know the word of God and the grace of God. And they in turn turned around and opposed the Son of God when he came. And they plotted to kill the Son of God. How can they have mercy? No mercy to such. Well, my friends, we must be very clear. The Lord says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will receive mercy in that day. Everybody wants to enter the kingdom of God one day. When they come there, they all want to enter. The Lord Jesus says, no, no. God's mercies have a differentiation. There is a difference between people and people. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God in that day, but they who do the will of my Father. For many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did I not preach in your name? Now, preaching in Jesus' name does not entitle a person to God's mercies, you know that. It does not. Only those who do the will of God the Father, only those who obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the will of God the Father, only those who submit to the gospel sound, that is the will of the Father, only those who honor the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the will of the Father, and only these will enter the kingdom of God, not everyone. Only those who will believe the truth of the gospel and will preach only the truth, nothing but the truth, only these will deserve the gospel, the mercy of God. Now, we must be very clear. To the Pharisees, Jesus says, you want a sign, I give it to you. I know you will not believe it, but nevertheless, I give it to you. The sign is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Verse 40. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Jonah went into the whale's belly 3 days and three nights. That is the sign. I am the present Jonah to you. I will go 3 days and three nights into the belly of the earth, there to be buried. But I will return like Jonah. But you will not believe. That is the sign of Jonah. Dear friends, when people will not believe the word of God, they deserve no mercy. Do you believe, dear friends? It's so simple, isn't it? So simple. All that God wants us to do tonight is to say, Lord, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for enabling me to submit to the word and to believe in the word so that I may obtain mercy. That is the criterion, that is the requirement to our obtaining mercy. To believe and to receive and to take the side of God and say, Lord, whatever you say, I believe, I will take your side. This qualifies you for mercy. Don't ever, therefore, oppose the word of God. Those who oppose the word of God oppose the truth, and they do not deserve mercy. So, here we have two confirmations, right? The first is in the account, in the book of Jonah, it says, the Lord had prepared a great fish. Then in the account in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, I who prepared the great fish tell you. You want a sign? It is a sign of the great fish and Jonah. And you will not believe it. Praise God. Thank God we do believe it. Now in case you still want proof, here I have something very wonderful. This is from an Australian newspaper called The Age. The Age is not a Christian newspaper, but it has a story of a modern-day Jonah, the man who played Jonah. His name was James Bartley. There is a Bartley Road somewhere in Singapore. This man is James Bartley. And as a young man, he said, I'll seek my fortune as a seaman. So he joined the Star of the East and sailed from England for the Falkland Islands. You know, where is the Falkland Islands? In the South, I don't know, Atlantic. Somewhere near the South Pole, where there are a lot of whales, and they went whaling. One day, from the Star of the East, they spotted this great monster, a great sperm whale came up. So they lowered two boats, and the sailors with their harpoons and their spears went chasing for the whale. And the first one got a direct hit on the whale, and the brute was so angry, it whipped its tail, and the boat was broken in two, and the people fell overboard, and James Bartley disappeared. Nevertheless, the whale was caught. By the end of the day, they had got the whale under a shackle, and they began to cut the whale up. They worked all afternoon and all night. They couldn't finish. Next morning, they resumed their work of cutting off the oil and the fat and the meat until finally they could get the whale on board the boat. And there, as they cut deeper, they came to the stomach. And one sailor said, my, there's something strange. That stomach is moving. It's moving. There must be another fish inside. So they quickly cut it open, and to their horror, James Bartley appeared. He was unconscious. So they revived him. They put him, of all places, on the captain's bed and looked after him, nursed him for 2 weeks. He was unconscious, but slowly he recovered. And after 2 weeks, he came to and he began to tell his story. Now, listen. He says, when I fell into the water, I was conscious of a great sweeping current that carried me into a passage. Then suddenly it was all darkness, and I felt something moving me along, as though compressing and pushing, and it was a dark, smooth passage, and I went right through. Pitch darkness, and suddenly I came into a large space. Then I could feel that everything was very slimy and very hot. Mind you, in the Antarctic waters, the whale's stomach is 104 degrees, very hot, to digest the food. And there he lost consciousness. The next thing he knew was he was sleeping in the captain's bed. In between, he knew nothing. My dear friends, this was authenticated by the captain of the boat and all the men. They had to make a statement, and this was recorded in the annals of history that there was such a wonderful miracle, a man could come back and tell his story. Now, do you believe it? I don't think you need this. It's faith that helps you to believe. Now, let us turn to the story itself. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord in verse 1 came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish, which is in Spain, from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare, went down to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But, verse 4, God intervenes in his life. The Lord sent a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was almost going to break. Now this is the setting of the story. Can you imagine it? Those days, of course, boats were mostly sailboats, some with oars, and they went along with the wind. Now, every sailor hopes for a fair wind. A good wind, always blowing from the back, so you sail along. But this time, God sent a contrary wind, a very violent wind, and the whole boat was likely to be broken, and there all the people got terribly frightened. And it says here in the next verse, they all call out to their gods, everyone praying. This was the first ecumenical prayer meeting. Everybody crying to his own God. God, save us, save us, save us. But the God who sent the wind did not stay the tempest. The tempest went on and on and on. And eventually they came to the bottom of the boat, and there was a man sleeping. Jonah, what's happened to you? All of us are crying to our God. Have you no God? What are you doing here? We're going to drown. Get up. You pray to your God. Jonah confessed. He says, look, the cause of the tempest is me. I am the cause. And the treatment is throw me overboard. As in medicine, they say, know the cause and treat the disease by getting rid of the cause. Here he is. He's the cause. You know, but the sailors were very, very merciful to him. They pitied him. He says, no, no, no. How can we throw you aboard? But the wind never stopped. Eventually, more reluctantly, they took him and threw him overboard. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I would imagine his passage down the gullet of the fish was something like what James Bartley said. He went through a tube and it seemed to propel him along, but there is a great difference. Yes? Whereas Jonah survived 3 days and three nights, this man nearly died. It was only overnight. And it is said when he came out, all the exposed parts of his skin were bleached white. So that ever afterwards, those parts remained like parchment and white. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. God had a hand, for God sent the fish at the right place, at the right time, to swallow him, and when the time came to vomit him, back to the seashore. It would have been a disaster if the whale had vomited him into the ocean. He'll still be drowned. But the God sent the whale, said, go swim to the sea, to the shore, and there you vomit. God caused him to vomit. Now, let's think. Think of how Jonah survived. God had prepared this large chamber, the stomach of the whale. How big is a whale? Big whales are about 60, 70 feet long, about from here to the end of the hall, and they're great monsters, and their stomach will be like a, well, small HDB flat. You'll be inside. There is a chamber, and the stomach's lining will be a cushion for Jonah to lie down. And there was air filling that chamber. So it was a very nice, comfortable room. And God looked after him. The Lord's hand was upon him. I say, actually, Jonah was the first man to sail in the submarine. Whereas James Bartley's survival was natural. Please notice this. Jonah's survival was supernatural. Why do I say so? As I said, James Bartley was overnight. And he came out unconscious, took 2 weeks to revive, and he bore the marks of bleaching by the fish's acid digestive juices. Please remember, the normal time for digesting a meal is about 3 hours, right? In 3 hours, you become pulp. And you'll be moving into the intestines and flowing along. But in this case, why was James Bartley not digested? You know? Simply because his friends succeeded in killing that whale in time. So all the digesting system stopped. So because they were able to kill the whale, all the digestive action stopped and James Bartley survived. For Jonah came out unscathed, fully conscious, and he did not need 2 weeks to recover. Our Lord had designed it. Our Lord designed this fish to swallow Jonah at the right time in order to give a sign to the Jews and the Pharisees who asked for a sign. Do you know this? Do you believe it? Oh yes, it is the same Lord who sent the fish. It is the same Lord who confronted the Pharisees. And it is the same Lord who spoke to them. You want a sign? I had sent a fish. The fish that swallowed Jonah, that is the sign I give to you. The Lord designed this fish so that when he swallowed Jonah, God stopped all digestive activity. Do you believe that? Of course. Otherwise, there won't be any Jonah left after 3 days and three nights. Everything came to a standstill inside the whale. All that the Lord had to do was, by his creative power, the same Lord who made the whale stopped the stomach from digesting Jonah, and everything stopped, so that Jonah came out whole. The Lord designed the stomach of the fish to become a prayer chamber. Look at chapter 2, verse 9. There, instead of being unconscious, Jonah was fully conscious. He was able to comprehend what was happening so that he could pray to God. Verse 9, at the end of his prayer is in chapter 2, at the end of his prayer, Jonah said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Lord, have mercy on me. I know you have saved me for a purpose. I will do that which I have vowed. I agreed to go to be your messenger to Nineveh. Now, Lord, have mercy on me. Salvation is in your hand. If you spare me, I will go to Nineveh. Isn't it a great prayer? And yet some people pray and they don't fulfill that prayer. Thank God that Jonah did. Now, verse 10. As I said, the Lord spoke to the fish, swim to the land and vomit out Jonah upon the dry land. How wonderful. Now that is mercy, isn't it? Mercy. In war, if a soldier deserts, he is subject to very serious punishment. Sometimes on the spot, he can be shot, court-martialed. Here is a soldier who is sent, being sent to the front, and he deserts. Is that right? Of course. Jonah was a deserter, and he deserved serious and severe punishment. The Lord did not punish him, but gave him a wonderful experience. And then the Lord recommissioned him. The Lord called him back and said, Jonah, you failed me the first time. Don't fail the second time. I give you a second chance. Our Lord is so merciful. He is the Lord of the second chance. For some, the third or fourth or tenth time we fail him, he still has mercy on us. So God did not write off Jonah. Chapter 3, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Go to Nineveh, that great city. Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. How far can you walk in a day? Can you walk 10 miles? Of course. Can you walk 20 miles? Yes. A young soldier can walk 30, 40 miles one day, easy. Here, this city is of exceeding great size of 3 days' journey, maybe 120 miles. What a great city! Maybe the size of Singapore, who knows? Verse 4. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Repent, therefore. It's not recorded here that he says repent, but the effect of his message is the whole city repented, from the king right down to the prisoner in the dungeon, including the animals. They also participated in the repentance. How wonderful. Now let's see. See how God was merciful, firstly to Jonah, and through this useless prophet, caused the whole city to repent and made them fit to receive the mercies of God. When we repent, God is merciful. Those who reject, they cannot receive the mercies of God. This is the difference. I've mentioned this, explained this earlier on. Those who oppose, those who reject, those who spurn the grace of God and the offer of repentance, they will not receive mercies. Dear friends, do not resist the gospel. When you hear it, receive it, believe it. Then God will show mercy as the people of Nineveh. Chapter 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed their vows, put on sackcloth from the greatest even to the least, for the word came unto the king of Nineveh. Wow, what a wonderful... The gospel went up to the palace, to the highest istana, and there they heard gospel, repentance, God's mercy is coming. And the king arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, took off his royal robe, and covered himself with sackcloth. We don't see sackcloth very often nowadays, but if you go to the Chinese heathen funerals, they put on sackcloth. It's a very coarse brownish color. And the king says, look, I'm in serious trouble. God is angry with me. How can I put on these beautiful clothes, take them off, and put on sackcloth, and sat down in ashes, and repented of his sins? Verse 7, and the king caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God, have mercy on us, have mercy on us, Lord. We have sinned against thee. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell? Verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger and we perish not? This is a marvelous, marvelous response to the gospel. Did we not all respond that way once upon a time? When we heard the gospel, when it is shown to us so clearly that we are sinners, all have sinned, I have sinned, and I come short of the glory of God, and all I deserve is God's punishment and God's wrath and God's justice. And there at the foot of the cross, God revealed to me his great mercy. Mercy, great and grace was there, was free at the cross of Calvary. And there you see, there you receive. And God's mercies flow down to you, and you are saved. This is what happened to the people. Verse 10, who can tell? God saw their works, that they turned from the evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and God did it not. How wonderful. This is mercy. Punishment prepared, but withheld. Punishment well-deserved, but withheld. This is mercy. Thank God for mercies shown to all of us. Now, the final act of mercy that God showed to Jonah, the final act of mercy, in verse 4, chapter 4. Wonder of wonders, wonder of wonders, when the people repented, Jonah was very angry. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying from the beginning, when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. And I knew that you were going to show favor to these horrible people in Nineveh. We hate them. We don't think they deserve your mercy. Why should I go there and preach? Now you've made me preach, and now you've forgiven them. I'm very angry. Oh, what a prophet. What a prophet. And yet he was beloved of God. Mercy upon mercy. Verse 3. Therefore now, Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. It's better I die than live. Oh, how awful. For it is better for me to die than to live. Dear friends, did you ever not say that? Or many of us sulk and pout and get angry with God. Oh, Lord, spare us from that kind of stupid, childish behavior, the Jonah kind of behavior. And God spared the city. How great a mercy did God show to that city? Verse 11, the concluding verse. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, that is 120,000 persons, that cannot discern between their right hand and the left hand? How do you interpret this phrase, that there were 120,000 people who could not discern between right and left? A simple thing that a three-year-old child will understand. You ask your three-year-old child, show me your right hand, he'll show you your right hand. So I would think this refers to those who are under three. This city has 120,000 children under three who don't know what is right hand and left hand. And therefore, the population must have been at least 1 million or more. 1 million should have 120,000 children under three. Oh, dear friends, this is, of course, my own foolish idea. But there was a great city. We're told that it takes about 120 miles to go around the city, right? If you walk 3 days, fast walker, that is. Whatever it is, the story of Jonah is that God was merciful, wonderful, plenteous in mercy. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. All of us have savored and tasted of the mercies of God. Paul was one who was grateful for God's mercies, most grateful. He says, I thank my Lord, and all of us can say the same. We thank our Lord that He spared us. Did He not spare us? For if God were to take it out on us for what we have done, we'd all be consumed, finished, written off, cast into the fire, burned away. No. Paul says, I thank my Lord. I was on my way to Damascus to kill Christians, and the Lord took me. And the Lord did not finish me off. The Lord says, come, Paul, Saul, I have worked for you. And I thank my Lord, He has enabled me, counted me faithful. So I say the same. The Lord has counted me faithful to put me into this ministry of traveling today. Go here and there with the gospel. For putting me in the ministry, says Paul, and this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save us sinners, of whom I am the chief. This is mercy. We don't deserve it. We only deserve punishment. And God comes and lifts us up and gives us the love of Jesus, His righteousness. So Paul says, but I obtain mercy. I obtain mercy. Can we all not say, I also obtain mercy, because God was good to me, that in me Jesus might show forth all long-suffering to them who should hereafter believe. Let me repeat this. God showed mercy to Paul, that through him Jesus might show forth his long-suffering to those who should hear the gospel and repent and turn back, and that they also may obtain mercy. God bless us as we receive His mercy tonight. Let us pray. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful mercy. For we who are miserable sinners, deserving nothing but the wrath of God, have received wonderful mercy from Thy great hand. Lord, help us that we may go forth to be Thy instruments, to turn others to repentance, that they too may receive Thy wonderful mercy. I pray this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.